again, reading for a short, and I ask you to stand in reference to God's word, to read together Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being mortified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the reading. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have done in Capernaum, do also here in my country.'" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, but to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." May the Lord add his blessing to his word and meditate upon it. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear God, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for your declaration of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God, as we come into this building, it's not into this building with desire, but, O God, into the presence of God. And we can only come into your presence through Jesus Christ. For, O God, we are unworthy sinners. We have no right to heaven. We have no claim to heaven. You told us in your word how you hate sin and how wicked and sinful and ungodly we are. But, O God, in Christ, dressed in his righteousness, washed in his blood, we have acceptance into the throne of God. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and pray for that visitor. Oh, dear God, may you bring us into your presence. May you speak us with your word. Oh, dear God, may you bless us by the Holy Spirit, that the word spoken might come to us as your message. And, oh, God, that it might fall upon receptive ears. Oh, dear God, and that it might fall into receptive hearts, prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive the seed. And bring forth fruit to you. So move in our midst, O God. Declare unto us your Son, even as he's been declared to us in this passage. O dear God, may you reveal him to the lost soul of his flesh, that they be changed forevermore by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, a new birth, a quickening, that they might fall before Jesus Christ in repentance. All for the glory of God. In your precious name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have. Amen. Please be seated. Time and again, you go to church. Maybe you get a good nap while you're here.
So how many times do you come to church and leave with nothing? You came to church and left with nothing.
Could it be that you leave with nothing because you were looking
for the wrong thing? What are you looking for today?
What do you expect to find today?
What is your purpose for being here?
I'm reminded of the words of Jesus as he asked the people about their seeing John the Baptist.
Turn to Luke chapter 7. This is a couple pages of the Bible. Luke
chapter 7. These three verses, he asked the question basically three times. Verses 24 through 26. Luke 7, 24 through 26. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness with the sea? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. As he's here declaring John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, remember, wore leather and ate honey and locusts. He was not a man of delicacy. He was not a man of refinement. He was not a man of nice clothes. He came for a purpose. He came to declare the word of God and to call lost men and women and boys and girls to repentance. For without repentance, there is no salvation. He was sent as a messenger to prepare the way, to make way the path that Jesus Christ was coming. And he did. And he preached repentance. Repentance, repentance. What are you here today looking for? As Jesus said unto him, unto them, what went ye out for to see? What were you looking for? What did you expect to see? What were you looking to find? Those of you that have smartphones, I'm sure you probably become full to it. It's such a convenience. You go to the grocery store, and you're supposed to get something on the list, and you know, what in the world is this? What is it I'm looking for? So you send a text or make a call, and all of a sudden calls the phone from the picture. So you know what you're looking for. But it's like, oh, there it is. There it was all along. I just didn't know what I was looking for. How do you expect to find if you don't know what you're looking for? What are you looking for today? What are you looking for here? What came ye out for to see? What are you looking for when you attend church? A pretty building. You'd be surprised how many people are looking for the structure, the pretty windows. Yes, we have pretty windows here. But how many people go to church just to look at the stained glass and the nice fixtures and the prettiness of the building and all the people in their clothes and their nice new clothes? Stirring music. Oh man, we had great worship services. The worship team was really on it. The music was really great. The band was fired up and the music was just rolling. Eloquent speech. Oh, we've got a new preacher, man. He speaks so well. He has the best stories. He can really tell a joke. Good speech, funny stories, jokes, they can all have a place, but that better not be the purpose. Is that your only purpose? Is that what you're looking for? Did you come out to see your friends? When we had to have service by conference call week after week, and I hope you guys can hear me, when we had to be separated from one another, was the longing and the desire in your heart just to see one another? Our conference calls were about 2 hours long, and I believe a very important portion of that was when you got to speak, when you got to hear one another, and to talk to one another. But was that all there was?
that turn the world? You can do Microsoft, text, email. Is that the only reason you go to church? To see your friend? To be seen as your friend? Standing back there, he's dressed for the meeting today. We've got a matching face mask and shirt. Did you dress up so your friends would see you and take notice of you today? Again, you know I'm just picking on. That you didn't do that. What's your purpose? What's your intent? What are you looking for? What hand you out for seeing? You say you leave and you didn't get anything. During the week, your week's been so miserable. Well, I go to church. But then the next week is just as miserable. Nothing changes. You can't say with Paul, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. It's still the same old with it. Nothing's changed. Did you come to hear something that makes you deal with it? Well, yeah, I was having a bad week, so I went to church so I feel better about myself.
I'm taking you in the wrong church. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
If that's what you're looking for, no wonder there's no change. Because you're looking for the wrong thing. Look back to Luke chapter 4. As Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah, he read from God's word the proclamation of God, where God said he was sending his servant to preach the word of God and to minister to those in need. Look at verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that what you came to find? Is that who and what you're looking for when you come to the house of God? Just imagine those Jews gathered in the synagogue, hearing the words they know so well from the Old Testament. Remember, they're raised in the Old Testament. They know the prophet Isaiah. They've been looking forward to the Messiah. They've been looking forward to the promise of God. They've been looking for God to bring forth this that he has promised. And then Jesus stands up in the midst of them and reads this exact passage to them and sits down and tells them, today it's fulfilled in your ears. This is it. What you've been looking for, here it is. I am it. I am it. He is the fulfillment of the promise of God. What they say they have been looking for has walked in the door to greet them. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. You have been looking and waiting for me. Here I am, said Jesus. But note their response to him. Verses 22, first of all, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is that not this Joseph's son? Wow! Look at the gracious words. Oh, and knowing that's Joseph's son. Where did he come up with this? You know, it's kind of like Michael when he says something smart. Wow! Is that really Michael? Was he capable of saying something like that? They know him. Is this Joseph's son? All these sweet words, these nice words, these things he has said, these wonderful words. Gracious words. Then he preached to them that he was sent to do. And notice now in verses 28 and 29. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong.
It wasn't the length of the message. The message is recorded there, it's not very long. But you see, the problem was, what so infuriated them, what broke such wrath on them, they're looking to murder him. They pushed him out of the town, they pushed him to the brow of the hill where there's a cliff to push him off to kill him. What gracious word is not this Joseph's son? But you see, the words they wanted to hear, the message they were looking for, the Messiah they wanted, what they expected from the promise of God from Isaiah, was not this message. They were looking for something to build them up, looking for something to make them feel better about themselves, and they didn't find what they were looking for. What they got was the truth, and they didn't like it. They were not pleased at all. We'll kill him. How sad a story is this? What would the outcome see? What were they looking for? They were not looking for the promise of God. They were not looking for the will of God. They were not looking for the perfect worker. Remind yourself when you grumble and complain and murmur about weather, about all the things going on in your life, that God is in control and everything that God does is perfect. When you hear the word of God and it pricks you in your heart, when you get your toes stepped on, God is perfect. God has done it for a reason. God, according to Scripture, has two purposes. They're one and the same. First and foremost is always His glory. Secondly, it goes hand in hand with the first, His glory, is the good of His children. Because the good of His children is to His glory. And the two never contradict one another. What can you out for this evening? What are you looking for today? How will you find it if you don't know what it is? You're looking for Jesus? You're looking for salvation? You're looking for a new life? You're looking to feel better about yourself? Where are you looking for the answer? You know what you're looking for. You're not feeling good to go to the medicine cabinet. Well, let me try something today to you. You better know what you're looking for. Take the wrong medicine and get the wrong thing. You know what the medicine is? Do you know what the truth is? Do you know what the problem of your life is and what the fix is? It's Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing but Jesus Christ. What do you know him like? Do you know what he looks like? There are many people going to churches today with all the things we talked about before, with all the pomp and pageantry, with what the puts on the music, with the statues and the pretty windows, and they think they found Jesus. They think they found God. They think they found true worship. They think they found salvation, but that's not it. That's not it. These people in the synagogue that they thought they had found the answer they were looking for with these gracious words. But all of them, the truth came out and they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it. Will you know it when you hear it? Do you know what you're looking for? My mind kept going back in meditation this morning. How many of you ever seen a picture of a deer on a wall? Usually it's a big buck standing there with a big rat, just right out of the field, just drawn wide open. Wow, that's a nice deer. That's a nice buck. And then people go in the woods and they look, where's that buck? Where's that buck? You'll never find him if that's what you're looking for. When you go deer hunting, you're looking for the corner of the deer, or this eye, or this nose, or a little piece of leg over there in the midst of those trees, or the line that is the belly of the deer, or you might be looking for the tail. If you look for the whole deer, you'll never find it.
Do you know what you're looking for today? Could you find salvation? Would you know it if you saw it? Would you know it if you heard it? Or would you turn off with that fear and go, what can we out for us here? What are we looking for? Salvation, eternal life, Jesus? I would say to you that all answer is all in one, it's all in Jesus Christ. In Him is salvation, in Him is eternal life. There's so many that go to churches and the answer is, well, you want eternal life, it's this, and this, and this, and so many other things. And Jesus Christ may be one of the things, maybe way down the line one of the things. If you ever find the list such as that, and it contains anything other than Jesus Christ, you better continue to look. You better look somewhere else. Because salvation will be found nowhere except in Jesus Christ. And anybody that tells you anything else, anybody that preaches anything else, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed of God. If, even if an angel from heaven, Scripture says, an angel, not a false angel, not a bad angel, an angel from heaven. If an angel from heaven bring you another gospel, tell you any other way of salvation than Jesus Christ, let him be cursed at God. There is no other salvation. There is no other way. If you're not here today to find Jesus Christ, or if you're here, then you're wasting time. The only thing that's going to change your life, the only thing that's ever going to fix anything in your life, the only thing that brings joy and peace, true peace, is Jesus Christ. It's not a how-to, 10-step message to improve your life or have better relationship with your spouse or with your children or with your job. It's to replace everything with Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. Hallelujah, what a Savior! Do you know who you're looking for? How will you find him if you don't even know what you're looking for? I want to help all of those who are looking for Jesus Christ. But might be better said, I'd like to help all those who need Jesus Christ. Because chances are, most that need Jesus Christ aren't looking for Jesus. They're satisfied in what they found. Hey, I went to church, check mark. I've done the things I could do. Maybe you have, but it'll come to you. Do all you can do. Do all anybody's ever told you to do. You'll never say it. Salvation is the Lord. God must do it. To help with you with our question, what went ye out for to see? I want to show you Jesus Christ. You won't find any picture that's supposed to be Jesus Christ in this room. I'm afraid for so many that is idol worship. It's always a good looking man, and I heard somebody say that the other day, he's a Jew. Why did he look like an angel in the back of the curtain? Why not? You don't need those pictures. For too many, those pictures are in their mind, and that's what they think they're looking for. That's their idea. That lady told me one time, yeah, I get down on my knees and I pray for that picture. Is that not idol worship? When you are looking for Jesus, are you looking for the teacher, or the prophet, or the healer? Or are you looking for all? Are you looking, like most, for a Jesus that will accept you as you are, praise you for what you are, make your life perfect because little problems, take away all your worldly problems, making you rich in the process. Now, preacher, you don't understand. I don't
need anything changed in my life. I just need the problem to go away. And I need more money.
Then you're truly not looking for people. You're not looking for something.
And you won't find him. You won't find him in Scripture. He doesn't exist according to your expectations. Turn with Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. I want to look at mainly at Isaiah 53. But we've got to back up to Isaiah 52. To verse 13. As God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, but I will tell you, this is not the passage that Jesus was reading from. That's other passage. I want to look at this passage today. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall be approved of me. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so more than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them, shall they see. And that which they had not heard, shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief, and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I, God, divide him a portion with the grave, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he buried the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ. The prophet begins with verse 1 of chapter 53. Who hath believed? I will go. What an encouragement to pastors who stand in the pulpit and preach the word faithfully, and people don't believe it, and people don't listen to it. I passed by a little big church this morning and it was packed. And then you think about what is preached inside and what is not preached. It's a disheartening sometimes. Hard to preach sometimes. When we're looking at the wrong thing. When we look at the right thing, it's a joy. To stand and declare the word of God, it's a privilege to stand and declare the word of God. And not to, worry for the number, not to look out for the number, but that's God's presence. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Some people get upset because people won't hear. People won't listen, people won't heed, people won't pay attention. Not my business.
God's word.
Nobody will ever hear, not one of you will ever hear and understand or heed. None of you will ever see the revealed arm of the Lord apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Even as we declare Jesus Christ this day, even as Jesus declared himself there in Luke, even as the prophet Isaiah declares him in Isaiah 53, no one will hear the report, no one will see the report unless God reveals his arm to them. Unless God brings you to see. Does God reveal to you? If he is not, oh, why'd you take a moment and note the helplessness of yourself? I thought last week and the Lord took the thought from me, and thoughts will flood into your mind. Don't ask me everything I've said after I finish a sermon because I don't know. It's okay to follow the notes, but oh, what a blessing it is when you're not happy to note the Lord speaks. I recall last week how it had been 2 months and 2 days since we met together. But how a family member, or some of our church members, and met with them the day before, the very soon passed away. Because of COVID-19. And how quickly that could have spread to us. Certain of us, many of us, how could it have spread from different paths from all different ways? That could have been the last Sunday in church. It was the last church Sunday in church for some. Not of our number, but of some. Do you realize the graciousness of God to be in the house of the Lord today? We have friends and loved ones gathering together with us today by conference call. It's possible that they never see the house of the Lord again. It's possible for us to leave here and never see the house of the Lord again. In these days, these boring days, these days that you can't go out and do anything fun, have you meditated upon the Lord of God? Have you considered your own soul? You can't see. You can't receive this report. The arm of the Lord is not revealed unto you, and there's nothing you can do about it. It is only the grace of God that any of us have ever seen or heard. It is only by the grace of God that you will ever see and hear. There is nothing you can do. You can move over here and stay in the prophet's chamber. You can move over here and camp out on a pew for the rest of your days and live another 1,000 years. And there's nothing you will ever do that will bring salvation to you. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. As we gather in the house of the Lord today, we can declare Jesus Christ from the scripture, oh, don't you love it, as Jesus met the tomb on the road for this. And it says it, and it began at the beginning, went all the way through and revealed himself. It's all about Jesus! No, it's not. If God be pleased to show you, it's all about Jesus. But apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll never see him. You never recognize him. What picture did God draw here for us? A word picture through Isaiah, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. Have a barren ground, God brings you.
what we're talking about gardens this morning is what they're not doing. They're not doing very well whatsoever. The God brings forth out of a dry ground. But notice as he continues and describes him to us in a little picture, he hath no form nor comeliness. There is no shape about him. There is nothing pleasant about him to make him desirable to us physically. The next words, we understand a little better. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see, you meet certain people, and you're just attracted to them. Sometimes it's a look, sometimes it's something about the person. Now, you meet somebody, sometimes you say, you know, I don't know where it is, but I met that person and, you know, I was immediately attracted to them. I just like that person, I don't know why. That's what I do. This is not about physical desire, this is not about physical acceptance. This whole thing of salvation is a spiritual thing. And you're spiritually dead. There is no attraction for you. You'll never see him. You'll never be drawn to him. Apart from the new birth. Apart from the Holy Spirit of God moving inside of you. But oh, for the child of God who has that Spirit of God dwelling in him, who's had that new birth. And all the desire and the beauty of Jesus Christ because of who he is and what he has done. But if you're not a believer, you don't have that. Well, preacher, I heard you say it. But you didn't know. You don't believe it. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Despised and rejected of men. Talk about people you meet and you're attracted to and you're drawn to. It's also people that you meet and there's nothing there. There's no society. Maybe you try to like them. Maybe it's somebody at work or somebody in your family. Somebody married in or something. You know what I'm talking about. And you really try to work with them and you really try to find something you like in them and you really try to build them something. But there's nothing there. There's no desire there. You're just never going to be friends with that person. You're never going to be comrades. When you get together at the family get together, one of those people you speak to and you wave to, but everybody get over the corner when you talk to the person. Okay? But you don't despise him. He's despised and rejected of them. Is it in a sad state of affairs that most churches today in America would not allow Jesus Christ to be part of them? Excuse me, sir, you'll have to take your hate speech elsewhere. Excuse me, sir, you're judge not that you be not judged. You'll have to go out of here. We can't have any more of that here. Despised and rejected of men. Not accepted. He came into his own and his own received him not. We saw that, didn't we? That the town he's raised. Oh, is this not Joseph's son? How dare you preach that and drive him out of town to kill him? A man of sorrow. When we think of his life on earth, those are the lies, those are the truths that we make about this. He said he didn't have a place to lay his head. Foxes have holes, but a man has nowhere to lay his head. He was attacked, he was chased off. I was reading the story the other day about this week that he cast out the legion of demons with his wine. No, he doesn't want to. They hated him, despised him, rejected a man of sorrow. The unfaithfulness of the apostles. Oh, how weak was their faith. Jesus, dare not that we perish? Then we think on the suffering. The guard of this enemy. And he poured out his heart with his eyes. And his life of sin. But there he goes. Man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Look at who sought most to come to see him and talk with him. The blind, the deaf, the dumb, the sick, lame, all. Before the believers. Nobody ever came to but just talk to Jesus and have a good time. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is his life. Is that who you're looking for? Is that who you're looking to see? The Jews were looking for a king. They were looking for somebody to ride in triumphantly. Come in and reign and rule over them by giving them everything. By breaking the yoke of Rome from upon them. But to set them free. That's what they wanted. And they didn't find it in, did they? That was not his purpose. That last line of the song we sang this morning. When he comes, our glorious king, he is coming back as a glorious king. He's come with fire and change in the third word of the person. You see, the world does not understand. Do you see it in his word? There was a time when he came meek and mild, a babe, born in a manger, sleeping on hay and straw and in the barn with the animals. No pomp, no pageantry, no splendor. He came as a servant, as Jesus, as God said there in Isaiah 52, behold my servant. He came with a purpose. His purpose was to come and die. He came and declared the word of God, and he died upon the cross of Calvary. He rose again the third day. And he's going away now for a purpose. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And where I am, there you may be also. And he's coming back. But when he comes back, he won't come back meek and mild. He won't come back as a servant. He's coming back as a reigning king, the king of the world. And he will destroy all of his enemies. They thought they were triumphant in killing him. They thought they were triumphant. They thought they triumphed over him. Do you laugh when you read that passage in Luke? And they thrust him out of the town and they pushed him to the brow of the city. And he walked back through. They thought they were triumphant. He didn't say what they wanted to hear. He wondered who they were looking for. We'll just kill him. But they couldn't do it. Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, no beauty of outward, nothing about him that we could desire, despised and rejected of men, humble, suffering servant, came to die upon the cross of God. That we, by faith, that we, might have been broken. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He has been poor. Talk to my church and show them that.
Dude, I really don't want to talk to them.
I just didn't want to spend time talking to them at the moment.
We did, but we're on Facebook.
But now I think this also pictures something else. You see those TV shows or news shows, and somebody gets killed, and they pull a sheet over their face to hide them. Because we don't want to look at people. We don't want him to see us, and we don't want to look at him. There's nothing pleasant about him to see. Why would I want to look at him? Why do I want to gaze upon him? Why do I want to think on him?
What made you that close to?
This one you despise and reject? The one you will despise and reject all of your life? Unless he were have mercy on his soul? But this today comes when he's coming. Anything he would despise and reject you. This is a time of mercy. This is a time of salvation. When it pleased God to send his son to crucify him on a cross. When you think about why the Spirit is finished, there he is. Week after week after week, day after day after day, he has the privilege of the one. To prepare it all. There's nothing new to go study this week, but say more things, look for new blessings from God and the same truth to be given. I'm Henry, he closed it up and said, there he is, that the time is studying. I was not a good student this week. There were times, I said, hey, look, you weren't talking about nothing. But the teacher said, there's a test coming, now is your time. Study this material in the day of the precious time. And I remember that day and when I had studied it. God's written a book. Now the time to read the book. To see this son, to see what he's done. To search for him. What went out for you to see? What are you looking for? Now's the time. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. Where will we be later? Whether it be the Lord coming, the second coming, or whether it be us leaving, the second. You think about that when you hear the numbers in the news every day of people that died. How many went out without Jesus Christ? He begins the word of faith from when he was despised and we esteemed him not. He estimated him as not. Esteemed, that's the name. We consider him as nothing. We didn't even consider him. Esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All that God poured out for him. There's something here that can't be known except in your God and you know all things. Husband, would you like to know your wife enough to be able to go to the Lord and find the things she wants to do? And we have to wait for them to do that and then we pray for them. But you. From before the foundation of the world, God chose all the diseases and he gave them to Jesus Christ. And Jesus died for all of them. When Jesus died, none of us were born. But for those of us who were saved, he paid for our sins. He paid for the sins of every one of the elect, everyone chosen by God, chosen before the foundation of the world. He paid for them all. And yet we consider him. And we will consider him nothing. And what God did to him, nothing. Smitten of God and afflicted, nothing. Mocked. Jesus is nothing more than December 25th. It's the time to have a party. He was wounded for our transgressions. He had no sin with his own. None. Some believe that Jesus died for everybody's sin. If Jesus died for everybody's sin, then everybody has to go to heaven. Or God is unjust. I just saw something that I never thought of before. If God could send those that Jesus paid for their sins to hell, anybody goes to hell and Jesus paid for sins of everybody, then God is not just. Or Jesus needs to pay for sins for himself. Or he could send Jesus. You see, the reason Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for us, the reason that Jesus was acceptable before God, standing in our place, in my place to condemn me, stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a wonderful sin. The reason he could do that was because he had no sin of his own. He had no transgression. There was nothing to do him. So when God poured out wrath upon him, it was because of my sin. But if God did rightly send people to hell after Jesus had paid for their sins, then God would have rightly sent Jesus to hell. Even though he had no sin. Because those that Jesus paid for don't have sin. They're taken away. They're already paid for. God has already poured out his wrath. The price has been demanded and the payment has been made. But it's only for those chosen of God, those who are in Christ Jesus, those who God chose from before the foundation of the world and gave to Jesus Christ, covered in the covenant of grace. Jesus died for them. And though they don't go to hell, they stand before God justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Because all the penalty, all the guilt of their sin has been paid for, has been laid upon Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression. That word that we could say sin, he was wounded for our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the beating of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He started out no form, verse 2, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. And now he's beaten, bruised, chastised, and crucified. For us, physically, there is nothing about him to be desired. And you will never desire them unless it pleases God through the new work that he did of his Holy Spirit. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We, through all four doctrines, at the trial and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and see how little was there. If he had spoken up, he'd been set free. His purpose was not to be set free. His purpose was not that justice be done in human life. If justice had been done, we all go to hell. He didn't desire justice. We don't desire justice. We desire grace and mercy. He had to die that we might live, to accomplish the purpose of God in us. So he said nothing. He opened not his mouth. Even so, that the Roman ruler remarked that, don't you hear all the accusations they make? And don't you say anything? Don't you know that your life is in my hand? So he thought. But Jesus never defended himself. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened his mouth. He's brought to the slaughter. He has one purpose there, and that is to die. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his tribulation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was his stricken. He died for a reason. For the people of God. The children of God. Those that would be the children. Made his grave with the wicked, he was rich in his death. Because he had done it in the violence, he was in the existence of God. No one day was out to see him. He never had his kids in the first thing, he had to flee the Lord to Jerusalem. Why does God know all things? His own glory and the good of his children, if there are any men. If we do want to bring them, he, God, has put them in grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his sin, he shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in him. God sent him to be the sacrifice, God accepted him as the sacrifice. Else there's no salvation for any life. For when we saw no beauty in him, God saw nothing but beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The problem is that we are fucking good work and have no eyes to behold. We're blind and can't see anything. But all the beauty of God. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Every child, every true child of God. And God has shown us, and God has revealed to us through the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And that's the man who received his offering. The children of God. For their spiritual development. What can we not work to? What are you looking for? What are you looking for in salvation? How are you looking to do sin? Church membership, church attendance, reading scriptures, studying, good learning, all the place, trying to be nice to others. God means those things. It's in the despised and rejected, suffering, servant of God. He's revealed to us in scripture. We see him by the eyes of faith, we'll never see him again. But when he comes back, he comes back to the Lord. But we still have a veil for us. We still have a hole in his life that he endured for us. And he opened his mouth to him. For it pleased the Lord to bring him. It was the will of our Savior to die for him by the eternal life. This is enough. The suffering servant of God. Nothing beautiful to behold. No glory. The pomp, the circumstance. No celebration. Born in a manger. Died on a cross. What makes it worse? God himself, who knows all things, proclaimed, cursed is everyone that ain't going to do. What's it? Because Jesus Christ became our curse. Is that our first requirement? Is for the children of God. That we might have salvation. Scripture tells us that he was seen after he arose. In Acts chapter 10, there's one passage that said he was seen about 500 at one time. I thought I had brought that verse with me. But only those that God intended for the two. Revelation, not to the world, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. And the patience of the Lord is gracious. We know Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Some Elias, some John the Baptist. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. He was smarter than you. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The only way that you will ever have salvation is to know Jesus Christ. And the only way that you will ever know Jesus Christ is that God be pleased to reveal him unto you. Blessed are you, for my Father which is in heaven hath revealed unto you. If God is living in you, do you know Jesus Christ? That's the way of our Lord. When you know the truth, all of God, thank you for your peace, all of well, now we see my mouth is clean. Now we see the truth. Now there is a beauty in Jesus Christ that no man ever saw. The beauty that God put on the face. And now, as true children of God, we need to see. Oh, how precious. What a wonderful story. Well, let's all this morning. I'll look back at this thing, how easy to take us down. It's all about the presence of Jesus Christ. Risen with palace if Jesus is well in his name. His name feels the sweetest of food, and sweeter than meeting your voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all of me rejoice. As God will be with you, Jesus Christ. What in the apparition? What do you like to do? Oh, may God be pleased to reveal to you His Son, the Lamb of God, the faithful of His own. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for your word, for your perfect work. Dear God, we need you for the Holy Spirit. Move in hearts. Reveal your truth. Reveal your Son. Draw them to the suffering soul. For, dear God, make him beautiful in your eyes, even as he is beautiful in your eyes. We thank you for your dear presence of looking at Jesus and your love with you. Oh, dear God, make us to be like him, that he might be the firstborn among many. Oh, dear God, make us to be just like him through his sacrifice. That we will precious and move. Amen.